You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There's a whole range of things that are at stake here when we talk about eliminating Roe v. Wade and all the
same-sex marriage.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, in my view. And I don't think the country will stand for it, but I think what we're going to have to do, there's some executive orders I could employ. We're looking at that right now. But I want to keep
employing.
But look. It's clear that if, in fact, the decision comes down the way it does and these states impose the limitations they're talking about, it's going to cause a mini revolution.
A mini revolution. Those are the words of President Biden as he finally did, I wouldn't even call it an interview, a showcase of everything I'm doing is right and good. Not with a reporter, but with a late-night TV star, Jimmy Kimmel. This is June 9, 2022. I remind you, we are live on Rumble right now. Go to rumble.com, open Larry Connors USA, all one word, in the search engine. Open that file, and you'll join us here in the studio. Glad to have you, either watching us now or later, as we post it later in the day. And, of course, all of our programs are posted as podcasts after we finish the program. So if you miss one or you want to share it, I do encourage you to share. They'll be available at Larry Connors USA. So here's Joe Biden. He is finally showing up to do an interview. And I say I absolutely hate using the word interview because he's not really being given anything tough. I mean, they're all softball questions. Jimmy Kimmel bragging about how I voted for him and brings about, it's okay. It's a given that he's going to be treated fairly. Now, you would say the same thing about Sean Hannity having Trump on, whenever he would have Trump on. You'd say the same thing. I would. Let's recognize it for what it is. When you're in a friendly environment, you're not going to get anything tough. They are... Well, let me put it this way. Kimmel is a late-night comedian-type talk show host. Sean Hannity, more news-oriented, but he is, again, a commentator, a host. He's not a newsman, doesn't claim to be. So they're going to be treated with soft gloves. But this is 100-plus days that Biden has not actually appeared in a true interview session. And he shows... chose to go to the Jimmy Kimmel show. But here's a problem, the real issue at stake here. He's talking about we're going to see a mini revolution if Roe v. Wade is overturned. That decision will most likely come out next week. He says it on the same day that an armed man is arrested outside Justice Kavanaugh's house. And this 26-year-old from Simi Valley, California, I'm not going to use a name, was found to be carrying a gun, ammunition, knife, pepper spray, screwdriver, zip ties, other gear when he was arrested in the early morning hours. He's charged with attempted murder of a federal judge, told police, I'm upset over Kavanaugh's position on Roe v. Wade and the Second Amendment. And he made it very clear, no, I'm going to make him pay. I'm going to make Kavanaugh pay if they overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, of course, if his mother had aborted him, he's 26 years old, if he had aborted, he'd been aborted 26-plus years ago, he wouldn't be there to do this threat, would he? We're going to get into that in more detail. We're going to talk about more violence is likely to come. We're going to talk about the January 6th committee, which continues to be a farce. And we're going to be talking about also... the effort to have rogue prosecutors ousted, D.A. Bodine recalled. Aha! Happy times are here again. We're going to get into more of those. And we're also going to look at how the House is going to try to bring in the most cheerful people they can bring in to talk about the slaughter that took place at Uvalde Robb Elementary. Do you think we should post the pictures, graphic pictures of these kids who were shot dead? Do you think we should? Some are saying we should. They think you want to see them and you should see them. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I've been saying that it's dangerous for our justices, that we shouldn't be allowing crowds to, you know, disrupt the public and be there at nighttime making noise. They should be arrested for disorderly conduct, and they should be removed. But the thing is the White House now steps up and says, well, you know, we don't want to intimidate the justices. But the White House has steadfastly refused to condemn people outside of their houses. That's not peaceful protest. That is ginning up and encouraging and intimidating the justices, and it should not be allowed. If you want to stand in front of the Supreme Court, you can do that. But you are, it is not part of the First Amendment to be in a neighborhood keeping the neighbors awake. And then some of the neighbors of the justices were getting involved. How do you think they're going to feel when there's mayhem in the streets? Do you think any justice is going to go home when this is released? The justices won't be able to go home for months. So they're going to have to flee to other parts of the country. And that's a sad day. But the Biden administration has really refused to have a full-throated condemnation of the people gathering outside the justices' houses.
And that is a key. And those are the words of Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky. I know free speech. We want free speech. We want to defend the First Amendment. But there is a federal law that you cannot go protest outside a federal judge's house, especially if you're trying to intimidate them. And that's what's underway right now. We all know that's the intent. They're trying to scare the justices or their families into don't vote against Roe v. Wade. Is that the way you want our country to run? And for the Democrats who think this is all just fine, let it happen, if the situation were reversed, what would you be crying out? Well, we're seeing it in part with the January 6th committee. They've been spending all this money, all this time investigating the riot, and I'll call it a riot and a situation out of control at the Capitol on January 6th, the day the Senate gathered to validate the electoral count. And they've been pulling anyone and everyone in they could find on video. And there are a lot of folks caught on video. Some of them just walked in. They didn't even know what was going on. In fact, one of the star witnesses for the Democrats said somebody left a door open. Well, so much for security. But folks didn't know they were. Now, those who were battling police on the front line, yes, they should be held responsible. Those who stole items or drew graffiti on the walls, or in some cases, or at least one case, defecating in the halls of Congress, yeah, I would say make them pay the appropriate punishment. But at the same time, where are the Democrats in calling out these crowds gathering and protesting nightly at the Supreme Court justices' homes? Where's free speech? It's free speech. Where are the Democrats today calling out? Where are the Democrats today calling out the guy I was telling you about in the opening monologue who got arrested? An armed man who made it clear my intent is to kill Justice Kavanaugh because he is voting to probably get rid of Roe v. Wade. In fact, there's a look at several other such threats that have been accentuating and accelerating, I should say, since the draft opinion was leaked on May 2nd. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'll be honest with you. If the court is purposely delaying this ruling until more protection can be put in place, things of that nature, I would understand if it is. But the Supreme Court basically being held hostage on when it releases a ruling because so many out there are incensed they might plot to kill a Supreme Court justice or their family. It would be wrong even if it were on the other side. I'll make that very clear to you. If they came out and decided, let me put it this way. If the leak had originally come out, they weren't going to uphold it. And you had extremists on the right that are willing to bomb abortion clinics, to torch abortion clinics, and to shoot and kill abortion doctors, which all of those have happened. That would be wrong as well. So I'm not going to be any different than I normally am. I'm calling balls and strikes the way they should be. But when this guy is arrested with all this gear, including zip ties, and made it very clear that was my intent to go after Justice Kavanaugh because he's probably going to support Roe v. Wade being abolished. It's really based upon a Mississippi case law, but it would lead to that, to say that Roe v. Wade, abortion is not the law of the land, is not provided by the Constitution, and never has been. Roe v. Wade simply took advantage of the 14th Amendment, your right of privacy. When women stood up this last weekend at Joel Upstein's church and basically started stripping their clothing off, shouting, "It's my body, hands off my body." I don't know how far they were going to strip down. They were gently ushered out without anybody touching them in a way that might be offensive. Of course, they'd probably consider anything offensive. But when they started standing up at his church service, his mega church, shouting out against Roe v. Wade because they knew they'd get attention because it's a televised event, it just shows you how far some of these folks are going to go. But this thing right here, this actual armed man caught near the justice's house, and he flat out admits that was his intent. There have been at least five pro-life centers vandalized within a week. These are pro-life centers vandalized, one firebombed. Now, I know someone going to say, "Oh, you know, it's probably those pro-lifers. They did just to get attention." That's very funny that folks would say that, because they never seem to think that it might be some of their own causing damage to their facilities to get attention. We'll leave that aside, but the thought is still there, isn't it? It's like I'm telling you, don't think of the white elephant. Nah, that's all you can think of now, right? They set themselves up. But Senator Rubio says, Marco Rubio of Florida, says this is really just beginning.
You have people out there basically saying that these members of the Supreme Court are equivalent to the Ku Klux Klan, to Nazis. You've had some sort of saying burn the place down. 331 million people. It only takes a couple of them to look at that and say, well, if these people are that evil, the next step is to just take them out. And that's just the Supreme Court justices. Not to mention we've got hundreds of members of Congress that don't have U.S. Marshals outside their home. And, you know, we want to thank the U.S. Marshals for the role they played, or we would be having a very different day here today in Washington. But this is an incredibly serious thing. This is not the only guy in America with these thoughts in their head. And I have a very bad feeling about the direction this goes on either side. I'm not in favor of this happening to anybody. I don't want protesters showing up outside the house of Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or anybody else. I think there's a time, place, and manner that for free speech to be regulated. You can say whatever you want, but there's got to be some limits to it. And in this particular case, it's illegal because these are judges that these people are trying to intimidate to make a decision that they want in a court case.
He's exactly right, as you heard him say. I'm not in favor of those against Pelosi or Schumer doing that outside their homes. And then Senator Barrasso, Senate Republican Conference Chair Senator John Barrasso, said that Chuck Schumer is in part responsible for this alleged threat on the Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. Barrasso said, thanks to the police officers being there and responding quickly, the man was there, as he stated, apparently, he was there to murder Justice Kavanaugh. That's what the man is reported to have told police. Now, I'm sure his defense will be, I never said that, or they forced a court confession. But he knew where to go find him. He knew where his house was. Why? Well, because of all these protests and the so-called doxing. And Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, Republican South Carolina, also fears this thing is just the spark beginning a major, major fire.
The worst is yet to come, because the people you named have done nothing to fix the problem. The Vice President of the United States, a couple of years ago, before she was Vice President, raised money to get rioters out of jail who hit cops over the head. They had a bail fund for people beating up cops all over the country, right? So you got the President of the United States, who has been absolutely AWOL on this. You got the majority leader of the Senate going to the steps of the Supreme Court, threatening two justices by name. You got Nancy Pelosi, who said, the Speaker of the House, I'm perfectly okay with people going to a justice's home to try to intimidate the court to change the ruling on Roe v. Wade. So this is a logical extension to their behavior.
A logical extension. They've got a plan. They have a mission. And this is a step in that direction. And again, how do they know where these justices live and those they want to go after? The term often used is doxing. Doxing means you're going to release the name, their address, their family members, where their family members might work or go to school. It's been against police officers numerous times. And the same thing is in play here, because the left, those in favor of abortion, they're looking to put as much pressure as they can in any way they can upon the justices that might decide to issue a ruling which would end up overturning Roe v. Wade. And in fact, to that extent, Senator Paul has been an example of it himself by a neighbor next door. But here's Senator Rand Paul about this doxing.
The thing is all of us are concerned about potential violence and the potential for a mass shooting. Well, we should be concerned about it. And the concern is by releasing the justice's address. Look, other networks put my address on the evening news. They put global satellite pictures of my house on the evening news, encouraging people and encouraging crazy people. So, no, it's got to stop. We've got to quit doing this to our justices, but we should quit doing this to our elected officials as well. Look, The thing that needs to be reported is that actually Republicans and Democrats talk to each other in Washington. You've been here. You've been part of this. It isn't that everybody's at each other's throats. We can have a civil discourse in this country, but the people who are ginning up and encouraging people to be in front of a justice's house, it's wrong, it's dangerous, and it's going to set up the milieu. It's going to set up the environment for violence.
Senator Rubio says there is only one purpose to ducks. Only one purpose. Listen.
There's only one reason for protesters to show up outside the home of a public figure, and that is to send them a clear message. We know where you live. Now, maybe there's 100 people there, and not a single one of those 100 people are going to hurt anybody. But I'm going to tell you, someone's watching, someone's taking down note on the Internet where this person lives, and that one deranged person is going to show up at the house of someone and eventually harm them. This is an unfortunate trend that we're now seeing. It's a very, very dangerous one. We should not be playing with this. We are playing with fire. I'm not saying this guy wouldn't have done this anyway if he's truly as deranged as he appears to be. My point is that when you're encouraging this, when you're calling your political opponents people that have blood on their hands, people that are the same as the Ku Klux Klan that are coming to rip your rights from you, you're going to have some people take some pretty violent, dramatic, and dangerous actions.
Very dramatic and dangerous. When we come back, I want you to hear from Senator Graham about what he's been trying to do to get Attorney General Garland to get involved and put a stop to this. What a waste of time and effort, right? And we'll also talk about this January 6th committee. What good is going to come out of it other than a dog and pony show? Because, again, the Democrats are trying to distract from the November elections. It's not going to work, but they're going to do it anyway. All right, so we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear directly from Senator Lindsey Graham about what he's been trying to get A.G. Garland, Merrick Garland, to do.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have a law in the books. You cannot go to a judge's home or a juror's house and intimidate them while they're doing their job. That makes common sense, doesn't it? The reason they haven't been arrested is because they're trying to get an outcome that they agree with. Violence is not the test here. It's what you're violent about. So Merrick Garland, I think, is derelict in his duties. He should arrest these people. I wrote a letter to the Attorney General asking him to enforce the law, and I got a nonsensical response. So I'll do more. But we can start blocking people. You know, we're 50-50 Senate. I'm not chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Senator Durbin is. All I can say is that the Republican minority in the Senate needs to push back and make sure those in charge of the law protecting our judges are actually enforcing the law, and they're not. Somebody's going to get killed here if we don't change this.
I'm pretty sure he's right. Somebody's going to get killed. That, again, is Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican. And there is a federal law that says you can't do these protests at the home of federal judges. Riddle me this, let's one more time, the elephant in the room. If the situation were reversed and some conservatives did not like a ruling by a federal judge and all they're doing is just yelling and walking up and down the streets and so forth, disturbing neighbors and maybe making threatening remarks but nothing specific, it would be wrong, and they should be arrested because the law exists and says they can be. I'm not taking sides here except for law and order. Can we at least agree on that? No, we can't, unfortunately, because the left in many cases and many on the right see law and order only as they think it should be, not what the actual rule is. And we have this January 6th committee, the House Select Committee. It's expecting to start giving out more details, but apparently they're not going to have anything more than what they had when they originally tried to put President Donald Trump on trial for inciting a riot at the U.S. Capitol. They have nothing except a dog and pony show, and again, to distract you from inflation, your gas prices, everything else the Biden has touched that has turned to, you know the word. And, of course, don't forget, when they're in the process of doing this, they are only with the January 6th hearing conducting basically a campaign. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida.
This is a Hollywood paid political advertisement. They hired a producer to put this thing on. Okay, the criminal justice system is already dealing with it. But here's what it says about it. It says that if you're a member of Congress and something terrible happens here on the Capitol grounds, like what happened on that day, they're going to put a fence up. They won't do that for our country, but they'll put a fence up. They still have metal detectors in the House chamber, so members have to go through these metal detectors. They'll do all these extraordinary things and mobilize the National Guard. But if you're among the hundreds of small businesses that got burned to the ground, the people that were killed, the people that were harassed, the people that suffer from that, well, then we don't care about that. That, well, you know, that we're going to condone, that we're going to excuse, that we're going to have a now vice president raise money to bail people out of jail. That now we're going to have prosecutors that refuse to prosecute you. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you torched a police car, killed a security guard, did whatever you do. That's not as big a deal. It doesn't matter as much. And if you call out the National Guard or marshals or anybody else, that's nothing but the Gestapo. That's their attitude. It reveals hypocrisy. And the good news is people see it for what it is. That's why they're getting it handed to them all over the country, and why I think you're going to see that in November. Thank God as well.
Thank God as well. I hope so. And one of the biggest hypocrites, Missouri Congresswoman Bush, who's still all about defund police and yet spends $70,000 plus on her personal private security because she's an important person, don't you know? And what do you want? You want to see a black woman killed? Is that what you want? As she said in her own words. The Dems have been soft on crimes. They've been pushing all that. And then you got George Soros putting justices and DAs in position to make sure the country is destroyed. But yesterday, something big happened. Big. Stand by. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, a moment ago, we were talking about the January 6th farce dog and pony show hearings that are underway. We're getting word now that a GOP Michigan gubernatorial candidate, Ryan Kelly, has been arrested on misdemeanor charges related to his involvement in the Capitol riot. Why would they do that? Misdemeanor charges or something? Because they can? And because they want to make an example of another, quote, MAGA Trumper or a Republican. And by the same token, don't forget that Peter Navarro, who had been an assistant to President Trump, he said the other day on a late night show, the moment we get in power again, we the Democrats, he said, the first thing we're going to do is impeach Biden. And the very next day, the House committee sent federal marshals out to arrest him on a failure to appear charge before their committee. The very next day, that's their version of crime and punishment. Crime and punishment across the nation has gone to hell in a handbasket, as we say, especially with these rogue prosecutors that are in place. Cully Stimson and Zach Smith worked together at the Heritage Foundation, dealing with everything from Homeland Security to crime. Zach Smith is with us. Glad to have you on board, Zach.
Well, of course. Thank you so much for having me on today, Larry. I appreciate it.
Well, I know you and Cully spent a lot of time documenting all these rogue prosecutors across the nation and why they are there and who put them there and what the intent was. I'm looking at a column, an opinion piece for the Daily Signal that your partner Cully wrote, and he's referring immediately to Chase Bodin? I should have known. It's supposed to be French, I guess. Who got yesterday, or actually by Tuesday, by the votes Tuesday, recalled from office because of his lack of leadership and lack of prosecution. Go ahead, sir.
Well, let that sink in for a minute, Larry. Jason Boudin, and his, who's part of this rogue prosecutor movement, his policies were too left-leaning, too radical for the people of San Francisco.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. When you put it in that context, you're like, how many clowns are in that car?
So, I mean, I think that should really give you a good point of reference for just how radical this movement is and just how radical the policies of these movements are. You know, Chase Boudin, he was, you know, really the poster boy for this movement in a lot of ways. His parents were radical Weather Underground members. They participated in the murder of an armored car driver in upstate New York. Spent many years in prison as a result of that. And while he certainly should not be held accountable for the sins of his parents, he certainly should be held accountable for buying into their same leftist ideology and implementing policies based on it. And so what you saw in San Francisco, Chase Boudin pushed this narrative that you could stop prosecuting crime, that you could refuse to seek prison for many sentences, that you could refuse to seek to hold people without bail, and that public safety wouldn't suffer. And as the citizens of San Francisco saw, that was just utter nonsense. As crime, particularly violent crime in San Francisco, really began to rise substantially, and then also, you know, quality of life.
Well, and as you and Cully had pointed out previously in some of your studies, these San Francisco residents should have seen the writing on the wall. It's nothing was hidden from them. It's all right there in front of them. They got exactly what they voted for.
Well, the problem is, Larry, you know, a lot of these rogue prosecutors, not necessarily Boudin, but in other places like St. Louis, Chicago, Philadelphia, they use kind of feel-good, poll-tested language. You know, we want a fair criminal justice system. We don't want to send anyone to prison who doesn't deserve to be there. Those are pretty uncontroversial statements. But what people are quickly finding out is that when these prosecutors get into office, they mean something vastly different by those phrases than you or I or the average person would understand them to mean.
And I know the St. Louis listeners know when you referred to St. Louis, you're talking about Kimberly Gardner, and our Chicago listeners, they're referring to Kim Fox. Now, the other thing is, of course, who else is on the lineup? And that would be still in California, Gascon, and this most recent incident where a teenager driving a stolen car the wrong way on a street aims the car at the woman with her baby, 8 months, in a stroller. There's plenty of room, but if you follow the video from the very beginning, he actually swerves toward them against the wall where they're pinned. He had no intent of driving around them to begin with. How much is that figuring in some of that we will see with the recall for Gascon?
Well, I think you'll figure a great deal, and this is only the latest example of Gascon's kind of abdication of responsibility. You know, when this first happened, he put out a statement that the L.A. Sheriff's Department had concurred in a very light sentence that this teenager had gotten. Well, guess what, Larry? The L.A. Sheriff's Department didn't handle the case. They weren't the investigating agency. And the sheriff, Alex Villanueva, who, by the way, is a Democrat, came out and said, we never would have agreed to these charges.
Good for him.
And I think this shows there's really bipartisan support, the beginning of a bipartisan recognition that these rogue prosecutors and their policies, they're dangerous, they're bad for communities, and they're bad for the citizens who have to suffer under them. And as more people begin to realize this, you're starting to see a more aggressive pushback against their policies.
Well, let me examine, see if you can give me some insight into this. A lot of them are there funded by George Soros or one of his foundations. Why? Why would he want that kind of prosecution in our nation knowing that people were being turned loose that are committed numerous crimes. A kid who had already tried to poison a girl with a spiked drink, a felony charge, that was dismissed. And then, of course, didn't want to charge him with even attempted murder with his car the other day because it might show up in his adulthood as a criminal record. Why does Soros want all this to happen to our nation?
Well, look, it stems from a fundamentally flawed view, and you'll hear these rogue prosecutors say it and their supporters say it, that our criminal justice system is systemically racist and that it's fundamentally broken. Both of those things are just not true, Larry. Our criminal justice system is not systemically racist. We don't have a mass incarceration problem, contrary to what many of these folks say. In fact, if you listen to them talk, you would think there's just scores and scores of people sitting in prison for many, many years for relatively minor offenses, things like simple possession, minor theft. That's just not true. If you really look at who is actually serving lengthy periods of incarceration in state or federal prison, it's violent criminals. And contrary to what they're saying, I actually think a credible case can be made that we have an under-incarceration problem in this country, that we're not locking up enough violent criminals long enough to keep our community safe.
Yeah, that raises so, 2 points very quickly. I'm from Texas, and I know during those back in the 70s and so forth, you caught with one joint. They'd darn near give you a life sentence. Now, that was really heavy for that at that point, that clearly.
Right.
And President Trump even gave a pardon to a black woman who he looked over the record and felt, you know, that was a heavy sentence for she was not supposedly directly trafficking, but just kind of helping out and got caught in the midst of it. So that does happen that way. Now, I'm going to ask you one other question here in the last minute. The driver of the car in the knocking the woman down that Gascon says, just, you know, a kid, we need to straighten him out. He's a white kid. He struck a white woman and her white baby. Now, how would that have played out if the woman and her baby had been a minority?
Well, two quick points, Larry. To your first point about, you know, getting locked up for a single joint, yeah, nobody's advocating for that. What happens is with drug offenses, a lot of times there's violence that follows, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so many people get involved in that and are locked up. Now, to your second point, look, the fact that, you know, everyone involved in this latest offense was white is somewhat of an anomaly. If you look at the crime statistics, you know, the fact is when violent crime increases, it's often minority members of the community who disproportionately suffer the increases of those violent crimes.
Right.
And so the irony of this whole thing, Larry, you know, these policies are being pushed because our criminal justice system is supposedly racist. Well, the fact is, it's actually black members of the community and other minority members of the community who suffer the most when these policies are implemented.
I agree fully. Zach Smith, as always, I want to thank you for taking time and give our regards to your partner, Cully, at the same time, will you, sir?
I'll do it for sure. Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Zach Smith with the Heritage Foundation. There's another little point that we didn't have time to get into, but I pointed out to you previously before. Sometimes someone appears to be, they're going to jail only for possession or maybe trafficking, but there were no weapons or anything like that. That's because they have a plea deal. They plea, say, take the gun charge off of me, I'll plea to this one. But there's no drug dealer out there that's not carrying. If they're not, they're dead. Coming up, gas prices and baby formula. Stand by. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Well, I got my first. first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And driving your pickup, or as we used to say in Texas, a pick-em-up truck, is going to cost you a lot more money right now. A lot more money because of fuel prices. According to Gas Buddy that monitors this, gas prices have soared to a national average of $5 a gallon. That's the average. I got a text from one of our listeners earlier today, an email, and saying we were in Illinois and we were paying $4 plus at that point. I can't find it right here in front of me, but I know that's true because I was filling up the Harley a couple weeks ago. Normally it's a three and a half gallon tank. I mean, it wasn't hard at all to put gas in there. It could only run premium in it. And I looked at that thing, just kept going and going. I mean, that thing ended up being almost $17 or better to fill the tank on a motorcycle. And yet it's cheaper than the car. In all 50 states yesterday, in all 50 states, the average price of gas reaching $4.40. That's according to AAA this time. California gas prices reaching $6.40 per gallon average. J.P. Morgan analyst predicting gas prices may increase to more than $6 per gallon before Labor Day. Gas prices have more than doubled since Trump left office. Two things here. They may well drop a little bit before Labor Day because Biden will decide once again, let's hit the strategic reserve and help Americans out. You're not helping that way. That strategic reserve is there for when refineries are blow up or when they have a hurricane or threatening weather and rigs can't drill and the refineries can't operate. That's why we have a strategic reserve. You keep it up, we won't have one. It's not to be used to buy votes. If you want to buy votes, open the Keystone Pipeline. Let these oil companies get back to work on these oil and gas leases on federal lands. Biden did offer to do that, and then, of course, the Interior Department stepped in and said, well, we got environmentalists fighting it, and, of course, he immediately rolled back over and said, dreaming of ice cream again while you guys suffer. They want you to suffer. I've told you that before. Trump had warned, and I'm quoting from him, if Biden gets in, you're going to be paying $7, $8, $9, and then they will say, get rid of your car. That, my friend, is where they're aiming. Get rid of your car. You don't need a car. You don't need a personal car. Get on mass transit. Get on buses and trains. And then we'll get rid of them as well. In 2006, Joe Biden was a senator, and he was slamming the Bush administration over gas prices. He said, this is Biden in 2006, it is well over $3 a gallon in most of our constituencies. And we're paying that money, in my view, because we lack an energy policy. We lack one now, too. We have a green pie-in-the-sky climate change deal that has nothing to do with real energy sources and resources. The energy secretary did tell reporters last week, American drivers probably going to have to pay at least $4 a gallon for the foreseeable future. Sunday polling, 74% of those questions said Biden's gas prices extremely are very important. Extremely are very important how they're going to vote in the midterm elections coming up. Only 27% thought he's doing the right job. Well, I wonder who those are. Could it be someone like the Michigan congresswoman who had enough money to finally that she could get an electric car and the chips came in so she could drive her electric car? She drove all the way from Michigan to D.C. and said, I just smiled and went past the gas pumps. I'll bet she wasn't just smiling. She's probably trying to figure out, where do I go to get my charge, to get my charge back on my battery? And how long will it take for it to happen? And then we still have the shortage of baby formula. The company that produces 40% of it is going to try to restart things next week. So that means still maybe another 3 to 4 weeks before we start getting baby formula. So we continue to fly baby formula in from other countries, and it is available in Mexico. And it is available all on the border for illegals coming across. But we still have two online subscription-based formula companies have closed off their sign-up list. So we can't take any more. We're only selling formula now to current subscribers. Their inventory is down 40%. I know you can't tell your baby it's a supply chain issue. It's things out of our control. The baby doesn't care. It's hungry. It wants to eat now. But when they get a little bit older, I hope you remind them day in and day out, it's because Joe Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline when he first got in and is doing everything he can to get rid of fossil fuel industry while we don't have a real alternative, which in turn involves your baby formula. Coming up, do you think the pictures of the dead children of Uvalde should be publicized? I mean the graphic images. There are some that say, yes, they should. We will get into that story coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.